Wow, is it former player week on the podcast this week or what? Greg Riondo, who was a part of the podcast and UND 360 for many, many years, joins us today. And I just want to tell you, March 28th is my guest for Ice Out at Thunder Lake Lodge.
Yeah, we'll get that out there in March sometime. I'll make sure I step that one aside. But you got to promise you got to come back out again.
Oh, hey, I'll give you a good plug. If you are looking for a good summer spot with the family, maybe the extended family, Thunder Lake Lodge is the place to go. We've had fabulous times there.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
The host is one thing, but if you can get by him, you're okay up there.
Hey, but this is a special event for our listeners, okay? The Godfather is back. The OG of 360 football, Greg Riondo, the Toucan Sam, the Can of Spam. He's back on the air. How many years has it been, Craig, since you've been on?
Oh, I think it's probably been 2 or 3 years. Yeah, probably somewhere around there. I think I came on once to discuss a couple of things. Yeah, it's been a while.
That's why the numbers have been up the last couple of years, I think. The list was, yeah.
I noticed that a direct correlation.
Yep. Business is good for you guys now, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, let's get your thoughts on the head coaching job at UND, Eric Schmidt. You got to be just thrilled to see Schmidty in that position.
Yeah, I am. I'm excited. It's still seems surreal to a certain degree. You know, the fact that he was even interested and willing to come back, given what he was, you know, where he was at in his career path and all that stuff. And I think it speaks volumes about his love for the place and his passion for the place. And obviously he's wanted to be a head coach, and what a perfect opportunity for both sides. It's exciting times. I'm super jacked up, and combined with what I saw for facilities, hadn't been on campus in 4 or 5 years. Wow. That was impressive. Just a lot to be excited about right now, and I wouldn't have it any other way but having Eric Schmidt.
We've heard so much about Schmidty's coaching resume, but you played with him. Like, tell us what kind of football player Eric Schmidt was at UND.
Oh, I mean, he's a kid from Mandan, right? The kid in high school that you played against that you just absolutely despised. Great athlete, played his ass off, and also had something to say about it during the game. So, and after the game, everybody that played against him knew that. But you know, the old cliche going around is junkyard dogs, right? And that's not only was he very athletic, great leader, infectious personality, was contagious. The guy's a great leader, and that's why I'm so excited to have him, because he was as good of a player as he is a coach. So,
well, and the other thing that people have to keep in mind, he's from the old Mandan. Okay, so he's going to bring the old Mandan, not the new Mandan. Anyone who's been there now, that is a different town. It is beautiful, and the facilities they got, unbelievable.
Wow, I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, God, Mandan. They moved north of the interstate. The complex, hockey arena, football, field, track, it's all north of the interstate. It's not down in town anymore. And then they just built a brand new gymnasium. Their gym, seating on all four sides of the basketball court. So it's basically like an arena.
Yeah, most D3 colleges, JUCOs would be jealous of Mandan's facilities.
It's
right now.
Unbelievable. Wow. So yeah, he's from the old Mandan, where there was a little different mentality, a little different style town there. And that's what he's bringing too. He's bringing that to UND, and you know, you and I both know that well, what he's bringing to the table. But it's exciting. When you talk to your former teammates, who obviously you're the same age as him, so I'm sure you've talked to quite a few of them. What was the feeling once it was announced?
Well, before it was announced, I've got tons of calls, because you know, people know that I'm pretty tight with Eric, and they're like, hey, he wouldn't ever be interested, is he? I'm hearing his name, and would he ever be interested in coming back? Because, again, his career path, he's taking a pay cut a little bit, and he's sacrificing a lot of stuff to come back here, which I think speaks volumes again. But, yeah, they were kind of in disbelief that that he was interested. And once they realized that he was interested and it was announced, it was like a little shot in the arm of adrenaline. Guys are excited. And the ages of the alums that were excited spanned a long lineage of UND football. So let's just say that it's pretty amazing to see what they think of them. From the older guys to the younger guys. So.
Well, and it seems like a good time, you know, because Bubba did a nice job with the program. He didn't start with much. It was, and they didn't have much for facilities, and he spent a lot of time upgrading that roster. He spent a lot of years upgrading facilities, raising money, getting in front of people, you know, with the Champions Club, working hand in hand, being out in the community. And it got to the point now where, you know, everyone is looking to take that next step based on, you know, watching our rivals and what they're doing. And then now it's just seemed like the timing, like everyone is kind of waiting for this shot in the arm. Something like this, to where now the facilities are in place. And I want you to speak to those a little bit, Craig, because you know, you hadn't been up there for a few years and hadn't seen, you know, what it was versus what it is now. I mean, I think it's safe to say the pieces are in place and there are no excuses. I mean, am I right with that?
Yeah, it looks like a pretty different job once you get on campus and look at the facilities. And again, Coach Schweigert did a good job, you know, taking the baton in 2013 to ramp up facilities and get the fans in the stands and all that stuff. And he definitely left it in a better place. And, you know, to your point about facilities, it was just almost unrecognizable driving down, you know, Columbia and University. I mean, there's new buildings, there's voids where building used to be. My old dorm, the Walsh Hall dorm and Squires, and that whole block is basically vacant, which I couldn't believe. You know, West and McVeigh dorms are completely brand new. Wilkerson was unrecognizable. The Memorial Union looked great. And that's not even talking about that new village across the street from the Hislop building.
Yeah. Softball fields where the old empty parking lot, dreary parking lot. Now it's got a beautiful softball field. And the Memorial Village, too, is going up right next to that.
It's nuts. And it's a good thing, right? It's unrecognizable. But even like the business school, you know, which is I'm a grad from there. Yeah, there was just so much change. I mean, there was fraternities and sororities that were gone. So, completely different feel. And when I went to the presser that Wednesday, walking into that new building there, wow, that's all I got to say. Yeah. And yeah, we're in a good spot. And that's why it's so exciting, because there's a lot to work with there. And hopefully Schmitty can squeeze out everything he can out of it. I think he will.
So what type of things are you excited to see Schmitty bring to this program since he's been away?
Well, I mean, I think his connections, you know, through his career path, you know, at Fresno, at SIU, you know, at San Diego State, at Washington, I'm really excited to see how he finalizes his staff and bringing all these guys in from all over the place that have been at a lot of different places. A lot of them are up-and-comers. So I think that's one of the biggest exciting things that I'm looking at, as well as recruiting and the transfer portal. I just think it's going to be a different approach. And obviously Eric was very adamant about everybody buying into the collective and the NIL stuff. That's a big deal. And I think that's already bared some fruit here, you know, early on already. We can talk about it some other time, but yeah, those are the things I'm super excited about right now.
Well, just the social media aspect, you look at the likes and the comments of these guys now that Schmitty said, we got to be on top of that. Well, the fans are doing it.
Yep. It's a new way of business right now, and you got to go with it or suffer the consequences of, you know, it's kind of the nature of the beast nowadays, unfortunately, I think, to a certain degree. But college football is all about money and the social media now, unfortunately, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you got to do. Got to do what you got to do, right? Got to play the game. You know, I mean, that's the way it's being laid out now. But the main reason we had you on, Craig, let's look at the staff. There were four announcements this morning, which is good. Great timing for this podcast. We'll get to those in a second. With Eric being named the head coach, we've had a lot of questions come in over the past, several weeks. And today, because of my tweet I put out, asking, hey, let's do a mailbag type thing. And a lot of questions about who's going to be the defensive coordinator. Okay, because he hasn't announced one yet, and he's obviously been one in the past. I mean, what are we seeing as the defensive coordinator for UND?
Eric Schmidt's going to call our defense.
Okay.
He's going to call the plays.
Coach, D coordinator?
Yeah, that's my understanding. So,
okay.
He sacrificed some stuff to get some new positions in there too. That's one thing people got to understand and realize, with him calling plays and being DC. Yeah, is there going to be some concerns that he's maybe stretching himself a little too thin? Maybe, but I believe in him. I think he can do it. And if that means freeing up some money for some other positions, which is ultimately what happened, then I'm all for it. And I think he'll do a great job calling the D. And I'm excited to see what the 4-2-5 looks like. I played in the 3-4. Kelly, you played in the 3-4. Smitty played in the 3-4. And he got out there and he learned some new stuff. And the 3-4 is kind of almost like a dinosaur now. So it's going to be interesting to see what he brings in for staff too, and how he puts everything together. There's going to be a lot of younger guys that are getting full-time positions for the first time, but these guys have good, DNA and backgrounds, and they're bringing new, fresh ideas, whether it's on the field, recruiting, or otherwise.
Well, so just to reaffirm this for everyone listening, it sounds like Eric Schmidt is going to be the defensive coordinator. He's going to call the plays during the games, also obviously.
It's his defense. He's calling the plays. I don't know that he'll entitle. I don't think it's necessary, really.
No.
But, yeah.
So when that happens,
de facto DC.
When that happens, you really have to have a lot of faith in your OC, because you might be off somewhere adjusting something with your defensive guys while the offense is out there. That's a lot of faith in your OC, isn't it?
Yeah, logistics, on game day on the field, that is a tough ask. I agree. But it's not abnormal. Look, across the country in college football, some guys might be OC by name, but how many of those head coaches are calling plays nowadays?
Right.
I don't think it's any different, really.
Well, NFL, like Kevin O'Connell, he's standing there calling the plays. He's the head coach. Lane Kiffin, comes
well,
to mind.
Well, Mike Zimmer was the DC when he was a head coach for the Vikes.
Right. Yep. No, it's possible. There's no doubt. And it makes sense. And what I want to emphasize for the listeners is something that you had brought up. He took that salary. Let's say they were going to pay the guy $125,000, $140,000, whatever it was. He took that salary, spread it out amongst the other positions, while also adding a GM, recruiting full-time position. So he basically said, hey, I'm going to call the plays for free, essentially, just so I can get better coaches in here and make the staff better.
Yeah, and maybe there was a little extra cash to be thrown out for one of the position guys he wanted to go after. That I don't know. I have no idea. But, again, like you said, spread it out to where it needs to go to get not only the positions in place, but the guys for those positions to commit. So I think it's a very smart, selfless act, and will be, remains to be seen how it's going to go, obviously, but I think he'll be just fine.
And it's not for lack of funding on these assistant coaches, as we learned at Schmitty's press conference from Bill Chaves, that we're second in the league right now when it comes to assistant coaches' salaries. So good for Schmitty. I like this.
Yeah, and are we second now? I thought we were like third or fourth.
I think we're up to second because Bill Chaves committed more money to it upon Eric's hiring.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that was a longer part of the negotiation, trying to figure out all that and how to allocate everything. But yeah, no.
But let's talk about this GM position you talked about, Kelly. What role is that besides recruiting? And how necessary is it in college football these days?
Well, it's a lot of recruiting. Generally, I think it's an oversight, feel of the program, day-to-day logistics. you know, just things like that that don't show up on the field, but maybe they do, but we don't know it type of thing. But yeah, I mean, Markel Pete is going to be the guy. If for anyone who remembers Markel, he was at UND from 2014 to 2016. So he was there when they won the Big Sky that year. Part of the running backs room. Great guy. Energy. Just a fun guy. Most currently was the running backs coach at Mankato. So they played Valdosta, and it was in the semifinals. They lost to Valdosta. So he's used to winning. Okay. And he knows a lot of people. And I know his name came up in December, early December, that, you know, if you want to get a guy in who knows, you know, kind of run the program, have an energy guy in the office, players love, fun guy, smile on his face, Markel Pete's it. So yeah, it's more of a oversee the program, look for anything, you know, that might be off, keep things streamlined, but recruiting is going to be the big one.
Well, that with his coaching background, will he probably be out on the field then in practice too? Or,
well, they can now. They've extended that out. You know, Craig, I don't know if you've heard, you know, haven't they changed that to where a lot more of a grad assistant or what do they call those guys? Analysts. They can be on the field now, can't they, Craig? So is that somewhere Pete can be out there, I think?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think, you know, so is he an analyst to them? Is that
Well, I call it a GM, you know, GM recruiting, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, he.
I think that the first time I had heard about something like this was when Miami had hired Alonzo Highsmith,
okay,
to be their GM, and then I think Ed Reed eventually took over for that, and I think they were just kind of overlooking stuff. Yeah, they met with recruits, things like that, but I think it was more of like a PR type situation for the head guy, just kind of a take some off the head coach's plate type of thing.
Okay, well, no, that'll be
who knows. We're probably not far away from a college GM having to deal with a salary cap,
right?
Maybe down right. the road, well, but
with Markel being the recruiting coordinator too, I mean, that's a big role too. So I don't know exactly how that's going to work. This is all new, right? We don't really know until we know.
Yep. And now, you know, they name four coaches, like I mentioned earlier. Why don't we jump into those, Craig? I know we've been talking for quite a while here. Let's jump into the four coaches who were named. Gordy Haug, tight ends coach, Tyson Maiva, defensive tackles, Ben Watkins, linebackers, and Keaton Wilkerson, safeties. Let's jump into Gordy first. He obviously brings the wealth of experience. Tell us a little bit. Tell the fans a little bit about Gordy, what he brings to the table, his background, and his background with Eric Schmidt.
Yeah, Gordy's a Crookston grad. So when Schmidt was there coaching Crookston to the semifinals in the state tournament that year, I helped him out in 2004 with those guys. So I have a little bit of experience with Gordy from 2004, which is, can't believe, 20 years ago.
Wow.
But yeah, he was a nice little player, linebacker, running back, and went on to Bemidji. Great kid. And yeah, his resume says a lot. Obviously, he went to NDSU for a few years, won a couple national titles there, worked with the running backs, and went with Craig Bohl to Wyoming. And I think he just finished, what, his 11th or 12th year there?
Yeah, 11, I believe, right? That's a long
run at her. And he's got a really good, you know, experience with the recruiting stuff. Really buttoned up kid, good, solid human being. And he's going to be coaching tight ends.
Is there a chance he could go maybe to running backs now that we have an opening there? Or will they keep him at tight ends?
They're going to keep him at tight ends.
Okay.
And then he's going to also, I think he got a little bump in title two with the assistant head coach.
Oh, interesting. Well, plus, yeah, what I like about his background is recruiting at Wyoming. He did recruiting right. The vast majority of the time, so he understands the game, talking to kids, the visits. You know, that's one thing I know UND that's been mentioned. They need to update their visits, I guess. Make them a little more 2025, I guess you could call it, whatever. I'm sure they went fine, but you know, you can always do new things, new kind of events for the parents, things like that. And I'm sure Gordy will bring bring some good ideas that way. That's interesting. Well, that, you know, so let's move to Maiva. Defensive tackles. What I got here, Craig, looks like he was he at Fresno when Eric was there? Is that the tie?
Or
Washington too?
He was at Washington for sure. Okay. I think he was Schmitty's like DN assistant, basically.
Okay.
And then he took him to San Diego State with him for last year. And I think the guy, where did he play? He played college at Boise and was it Fresno?
Boise and Fresno. So I think he was at Boise for 3 years. He was a starter at Boise. Heck of a linebacker for them. So yeah, and I think he finished up at Fresno.
So he finished up at Fresno when Kalen and Schmitty were there, I'm guessing.
And then followed him to Washington. So yeah, ties once again, West Coast, California guy, I believe. So what I like about this is West.
D-tackles, right? D-tackles, I think is what he named.
Yep. So yeah, he'll be our defensive tackle coach. Ben Watkins, linebacker coach, out of Fresno. What do you know about Ben? Where does he come from? Where is his history at?
Isn't he an Omaha native? He's from Omaha.
Okay, Nebraska. Then, yep.
Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska. He was a defensive analyst at Fresno. Was that right?
Yeah, analyst, linebacker coach too. I think he did some linebacker coach too. So yeah, this is a pretty good hire. You know what? One thing I heard about was interesting. South Dakota State just hired Dan Jackson, right?
Yep.
Who was Ben Watkins' high school coach? Dan Jackson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was it popped up here in the last few days that it wasn't a for sure thing that Ben Watkins was coming all of a sudden because, you know, those two had had a history in the past, but we were able to hold on to him. So a little interesting tidbit.
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, but Ben Watkins played at Peru State in college, which is Nebraska. So that tells me, all right, recruiting. My first thing I think of, Craig, you know, is recruiting. You grew up, he's a Nebraska kid, played at Peru State. I don't know. You know, it can't hurt. We there's a heck of a lot of talent in Nebraska. We've got a few of them, but we could always get a lot more. I know the other schools around us have got them.
Yeah, he was at Fresno for 4 years, I think. And before that, he had a cup of coffee at Colorado. And yep. I think he was even at Northern State down in Aberdeen for a little bit. So he's been around a little bit too. And obviously Schmitty liked him enough to target him and ask him to come with. So we'll hope for the best there too.
Hey, the last guy they announced today, Keaton Wilkerson. He's going to be the safeties coach because I believe, Sean Kostich is staying on staff. He's special teams and Sean Kostich is going to be nickels. So I don't know if people knew this. He's going to move from tight ends coach to the other side of the ball where he was actually a secondary coach for the Gophers before he came to UND. So he's got a background in secondary. He's just going to coach the nickels, which is the third safety. Is that correct, Craig, in this defense?
Yeah, basically. Yep, inside guy, right? I mean, that's kind of where things are going to be a little different, you know, positionally and everything. So That's a really important hire, and I think it's good. You know, Keaton was working with the edges at Washington.
Okay.
So you'll see a lot of these guys that we're bringing in now have been working at other positions before we hire them at those positions, which is great. I mean, it's awesome for their development and everything. So
yeah, Keaton was a Wyoming native. And I read a little back story on him. Great story. They wrote before the national championship last year, because he spent the last 2 years on Washington staff. And before that, he spent 6 years on Wyoming staff. And what he did right out of high school, he reached out to him and said, "Hey, I just want to play, or I want to coach. I know I want to coach. How do I do it? If I attend Wyoming, can I do something?" Basically is what he said. He goes, "Obviously for free, I'm going to be a student. And I'm going to graduate from there. But while I'm there for 4 years, can I do something with your program?" And they liked the initiative, let's put it that way. And he became a, volunteer, probably picking up bags right away type of thing. And, you know, worked his way into a analyst type of a role. And then got picked up by Washington when Schmitty was out there. So it, one thing I'm noticing with this group, you know, especially with Maiva and Wilkerson, young, first real job, but hungry, you know, possibly, I don't know if they're single or not, but I don't know if they have kids because they're young. I mean, what that says to me is just recruiting. You know, they can go out there and dog it on the road, and they got time and they got energy. I mean, is that, am I seeing that right, Craig?
I mean, that's what my gut tells me. He wants young guys that do have the time and the ability to go on the road and have the energy and the piss and vinegar to go recruit these high school kids, which let's admit, it's not the same now as it was, say, you know, 10 years ago at least. So things have changed dramatically, and that's why you got to just adapt and evolve, and it's a different world now. So I think that's a good thing as far as the usefulness of the staff, and there could be some growing pains as far as the position coaching thing, obviously, but I think they'll do just fine.
One thing I liked is you got to know the area where you recruit, right? Yeah, I mean, if we all went out to California, we probably wouldn't do very well. We don't know it out there. But it looks like a lot of these guys have Midwest ties somewhere along the line and have branched out and gone places and now are coming back. Do you see that too?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Kelly, I don't know. It's pretty spread around, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're around. But, yeah, I know to both your points, yeah, it's I don't know. It's just something. Yeah, recruiting's hard thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put it. But yeah, I mean, you send one thing I always like to talk about with recruiting, send the guys in where they can be successful. Is that, you know, you don't, like you said, you don't send Tank out to California. No. You don't know anyone. I'm going to send him to Hillsboro. All right.
I don't have the tan. I don't have the skin to go to California.
But what I like is they're coming from the West. We can, in North Dakota, we can recruit east, maybe to Chicago. Yeah, I'm good with that. You know, I'd like to establish a presence there again. But these guys can recruit west. You don't want to go past Chicago recruiting. You really don't. I mean, unless you're going to dip into a Florida or something. But you're not going to go east. You know, there's just no reason to do it. So, but you can go west. And you can find some things south and west, and these guys have those ties there. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're going to bring a different look, and the other thing is they'll probably have ties to the JUCOs, you know, the JUCOs, and which these days the JUCOs are overlooked because of the portal and high schools getting overlooked. So, you know, I like the makeup of it, but Craig, one thing I wanted to get into that we haven't discussed now, they haven't named three positions yet. I want you to speculate for me, okay? When I name a position, I want you to speculate a name because the names have been out there. Put it out there for us who we think are going to get these jobs. Now, wide receivers. Who do we think the wide receiver coach will be?
Well, there's a name out there that's been brought up a few times that I've looked at and researched a little bit to myself. There's a coach from Augustana. His name is Malik Bradshaw. Okay. He's coaching running backs out there. He's been there for 3 years. Played at Oklahoma. He was a walk-on there. Played receiver there for Lincoln Riley. And he's been at Augie for 3 years now, I think. Okay. Sounds like he's getting a good hard look at the wide receiver position.
Okay. How about Malik Bradshaw is a name to watch at wide receiver. How about running back coach? Obviously, you know, we lost ours. They just had an article today, you know, that I put out the other day on Twitter that Danelle Kirkwood is moving on to Wyoming, which is interesting because we had Gordy Haug's coming here from Wyoming. But so we're now officially out a running backs coach, but I think this thing was happening in the background for a while now. It wasn't just, you know,
sounds
dropped
that way
on Schmitty. Yeah. Yeah. What are we thinking running backs wise?
Well, with Schmitty's experiences, you know, where he's been, you know, SIU is the first obvious place to look at, right? All the great running backs they've had over the years there. And one of the guys that he actually was there with is DJ Davis from Lenoir Ryan, coaching running backs there. But I think this was his first or second year.
Okay.
Now, is that guy a player in college? Holy, he had like 102 receptions as a running back.
Hey, he was really good. Yep. Yep, he was good. Okay, DJ. So at Lenoir Ryan, D2 Power down there, I think East Coast School, if I recall. Remember analyzing him a little bit back in the day when the D2 playoffs came around and they still had betting lines out. I remember Lenoir Ryan was always that region down there with Catawba and them. But okay, so interesting. That's a name to look for. So they haven't announced these yet. But so, and then the last one now, we've already said D tackles. Okay, we said Tyson Maiva, but with a 4-2-5, you have an edge coach, which is defensive ends. They don't want to be called defensive ends anymore, in case anybody wants it.
That's the cool thing now, right?
Yeah, you got to be an edge
rusher.
Yeah, whatever.
Is he a linebacker or a D end?
Right. So yeah, anyway, they have an edge coach now, which I think it goes with the times. It's fine. So basically, defensive ends. This one now, we've heard some names. I've heard multiple names, but who? You had to guess, Craig. Who are we? Who's a legit contender for that job?
I think this is the most certain of the three that we've talked about. John Anderson, Old Dominion, currently an analyst, I believe. Coached at Sioux Falls for 6 years as a head coach, went 40-17, and then went to Old Dominion last year. So, pretty impressive resume for someone you're getting to coach edges. Let's just say that. That's a super exciting hire. I'm really happy about that one if it happens.
Right. 40-17 as a head coach at Sioux Falls. So he spent 6 years recruiting, let's safe to say, South Dakota, Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, Wisconsin, Minnesota. So, you know, I mean, once again, let's go back to recruiting. Because it's all, you just got to get, you know, is one thing we're going to jump into as we move on in this podcast is just upgrading the roster. Roster needs to be upgraded. Well, you're bringing in a guy who was the head coach at Sioux Falls where they win, and Kalen DeBoer's school, Chuck Morrell's school, and Sioux Falls has won. They won a lot of games. So that's interesting, like you said, Craig, just to be the defensive end edge coach. That's it. You're bringing in a guy with 6 years head coach experience.
Right. And I mean, so it went Kalen, Chuck, and then him, right?
Yeah, was he after Chuck?
Was he after Chuck Morrell?
Jeez, I can't remember. Was there
somebody in between?
Yeah, there might have been somebody in between. I can't remember. Yeah. But yeah, it was, another interesting thing is I heard Chuck's name come up. Now, he's an analyst, special assistant at Alabama with Kalen,
yep.
You know. But geez, was there a chance here that we might have had him come back? I mean, his name came up maybe. I mean, was I dreaming?
I think we all would have loved that, right? But I think, you know, between the role and the money, I think it was going to be a tough one from the get-go. And I don't know, Schmitty might have given him the old college try. I'm not even sure, but
yeah.
That's a call you make, right? The worst he can say is no, but
right.
yeah, tough to leave Alabama. You know,
right?
For depending on, you know, again, maybe that was a variable for the DC job. Maybe he would say, yeah, well, Chuck wants to be my DC, I'll take him. But I don't know if that ever happened. So
right. Well, another thing that's let's look at this thing now. Before we let you go, Craig. So Isaac Frichte, Trevor Olson are back. You know, Isaac Frichte's the OC. Trevor Olson's O line. Okay, scrolling down. Travis Steps is coming back, corners coach again, you know, same as he was. Sean Kostich is coming back, special teams Nichols, as we mentioned earlier. So yep. those four, with Kirkwood now leaving, this staff, I mean, I would expect, I mean, I don't know, what are we thinking to name? We just speculated at the last three positions. They got to be named pretty soon here, don't they?
You would like to think it could be done before the end of the week, I would hope. I mean, we gotta get moving here and, you know, start getting everyone pulling in the right direction. And, you know, back to Frichte too, I will say this, and I talked to Brooks Bollinger over the Christmas break a little bit, and obviously I don't know Isaac very well, and I don't really have anything to go off, but Brooks Bollinger is a fan of Isaac Fricke, so I think that's a pretty nice endorsement there.
Right. Brooks Bollinger, Grand Forks. Legend. When he speaks, people in Grand Forks will listen. When Rob speaks, people in Grand Forks listen. So
played in the Rose right. Bowl, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, oh, that's interesting. Good. That's good to hear. Yeah. I think what happened, you know, Eric Schmidt gave Fricke a chance, you know, and said, okay, you know, the kid seemed to like you. Your offense scored some points.
Right.
Let's interview. Let's talk. Let's see if we mesh. Let's see if we can, you know, exist and win, you know, that type of thing. And I think that's what he did. He held right. the interview with him and was like, yep, that's my guy, which you don't have to, you know, you don't have to go find your OC if he's already on staff and he's young too, as Fricke, 33 years old. So we're talking youth again, right?
Yeah. I think that's the fact that happened that way. I think again, speaks volumes about Isaac as a player and a person, or sorry, as a coach and a person. So the fact that happened went down that way, and Eric's like, yeah, I want you. So makes me feel pretty good about that one.
Well, it's good to see the staff come together. Now it'll be fun to watch what they do in the portal here the next few months. Does it close down now? Is the portal closed, or can you still?
I believe it closed on the 28th, right?
Yeah, does it open back up like on the 6th or something, or?
Then they have a spring one, right? Yeah.
Well, would it be a spring one? I didn't think. I was under the assumption that most. Well, because you got to get them in by the start of the semester, which is the 13th. So they have to be registered. I think this is it. You know, it closed down. I think most of the schools now have already made their contact with the people. Now we're going to get into the portal additions here in a little bit, but I think this is about the end of the line for the winter, you know, winter portal. There might be some additions, right. But that was just because they've already been in contact with them and they're waiting for their decision. Would that make sense, Craig?
Yeah, I think you're right. You would know more about that than I would. I really hard to keep track of nowadays.
So. Right.
It's hard to keep track of what year these guys are in college now with the whole COVID years. Yeah, it's crazy, but I think we're coming to an end.
That's over now too, isn't it?
God, I hope so.
Well, is Seth Anderson, does he still have a COVID year? I see he's replied back to the 1883 collective that he's on board. Yep, so is this a COVID year for him? Or?
Yeah, I don't know if it's COVID or some sort of medical maybe. I don't know what his would be, but I asked about a few others and they're, nope, he graduated. So I think the COVID thing's done. They're just, if someone's coming back that was supposedly a senior or something, it was just due to straight math. I think they're maybe fifth year type of thing.
Okay.
So unless there was a medical worked in there too. So.
Well, guys, the bottom line is I'm excited for this staff as it's coming together here. And we got a really good head coach in place. I'm excited for them and their family. I'm excited for the program. I'm excited for the alums, former players, and I'm excited for the University of North Dakota. I think we got some exciting times in our hands.
Thank you for listening to this special UND Football 360 podcast. The podcast is sponsored by Rumors Sports Bar and Grill, Development Homes, Inc. Gaming, the Kelly Howe Agency, Nodak Insurance, the Toasted Frog, the 1883 Collective, Interstate Industrial, and American Solutions for Business, Tank McNamara. Well, it's nice to know who the coaches are at UND now. Now let's look at some of the additions that we've picked up in the transfer portal. And the quarterback room just got a little bit bigger. Wouldn't you say, Kelly? This is a big dude coming in.
Literally. Bigger guy, yes.
Was it Javance Topuata Johnson? Is that how you pronounce it?
Topuata Johnson. Javance Topuata Johnson, quarterback, San Diego State. 6'4", 220.
A little bigger than Simon.
Yeah. Yeah, different body type. But 3 years left. That's a key there. And if he's – the nice thing about this, you know, you think you're going to get him for 3 years. But if he's good, if he's real good like we want him to be, we might not have him for 3 years. But you know what? I don't care because he was real good for two. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. It's nice to have him for 3 years. He played randomly started one game at San Diego State this past year, but got into multiple games. Good arm, very good arm is what I'm hearing, but he can run. And that was the key. A running quarterback. If you look at the other teams that are successful, look at the two teams in the national championship right now. Cam Miller can run. Tommy Mellott can run. Tommy Mellott's the best runner in the country, probably a running back or quarterback. I mean, that guy's unbelievable. But, you know, Vance isn't him, but he would be a Cam Miller type, a Mark Gronowski type, to where he can drop back, pass, or take off running. Or you can run – the biggest thing, you can run designed runs with him. And that's where you get – because you got the plus one blocker. You know, you're running back and now the blocker, whoever, that type of thing. So, yeah, that was probably the splash. You know, and a thing that I always heard, you know, with like Kalen DeBoer, you know, when Eric Schmidt coached with him and whatnot, he would move heaven and earth to make sure that quarterback was in place. He did not go into a year without a quarterback ever in his career of coaching. And that was the number one position. And like when they got to Washington, they didn't have what they needed. He went and got Penix. So he brought
took a
Penix.
Chance on him, yeah, right? With the injuries.
He knew Penix from his days at Indiana. But four times?
Yeah.
I mean, jeez, that's ridiculous. But he knew there was the talent was there.
I think the gamble paid off.
Yeah,
right?
It did. Yes, it did. So that's something where you can't just sit tight with quarterbacks. You can try another position, but you can't. You can't just sit.
Well, a couple guys knew that he might be throwing the ball to down the road, and there's some speed there, right?
Yep, that was the key. They had to upgrade that room with the loss of Bo Bellquist. They bring back a few, you know, a little bit of experience with DeMontagnac and Dennis, but nothing. I mean, you're losing, you know, hundreds of catches over the course of Bo Bellquist's career, a guy you could count on every game. Now the room is like, it's not ready yet. It's not ready for to win the Missouri Valley. So they went out and got B.J. Fleming, wide receiver out of Northern Arizona. He's your 6'6", 180 body. He's the tweener. Got some speed to him. Can get a little physical at times if he has to, but he makes plays. From Aledo, Texas. As anyone who knows Texas high school football, Aledo is a powerhouse down there. They just churn out talent. So he's used to winning. Northern Arizona was a good move for him before the new coach they hired. Last year they brought in a new guy to change it up, and that guy went heavy run. And it worked because they made the playoffs. But if you're a wide receiver, it's like, all right. You know,
who is committed to a good passing game.
Yeah.
It changes things.
Yeah, so he a few guys from Northern Arizona were looking to get out, and that's fine. That's what happens when you bring in a new staff. So Fleming will be a nice addition. Jamal Young, a wide receiver from Arizona State, who we saw Arizona State on TV yesterday. They were pretty good, and their wide receivers are pretty good.
And they're bringing in some good receivers, yeah, too, where the room's a little full now, right?
Yeah, and Jamal Young, Fleming has 2 years left. Jamal Young has 3 years left. Interesting. Jamal Young is your small guy. He's your 5'9", 5'10", 180. Strong, kind of bowling ball guy, quick in space, but you can see it when you watch the tape. He can move. And he can, you know, he can flat make guys miss in space. That's what we need. You know, you can run your sweeps with them. You can run your tunnel screens, your bubble screens, things like that, you know, or your hitches just to get him the ball quick, hopefully makes a guy miss. That's what Jamal Young brings. Yeah, they just need to upgrade this room is all they need. And we've asked for this for years, you know, and Bo was one guy, but we just never, you know, Clive George's was probably the last burner we had. And that was 9 years ago. So, and he was a transfer from Arizona. So we're hoping those two tank will be, you know, definite playmakers and can, you know, add to the room. Because we got some height in the room, you know, and we'll get into that a little later. We're going to dig into it, but there's height there, but these guys can add some more speed.
And you need that playmaker, right?
Yeah, that's the key.
Your
that's
go-to.
Key. We need, yep.
Let's talk defensive line. It's a spot where we thought we needed to get bigger when we were talking about the 3-4. Now we're going to the 4-2-5, and we bring in a D tackle and a D end. What do you know about these guys?
Well, Manuel Olagbaju, D tackle out of St. Thomas, young kid, just played the 1 year. He was hurt this past year. I think he played one game, got hurt his shoulder. Big kid, 6'2", 300. I'm big, physical kid. He'll be your D tackle body. You know, so like you said, we're going to the 4-2-5, so what you're going to have is two edges. You need straight passers. These guys will be out at a 7, out at a 9 technique. I mean, they're way out there, angled in at a 45 degrees, yeah. If you can visualize it. You know, that's the defensive end. Well, Oleg Baju, he's your D tackle. You got to have guys take up space in there. You got to be able to defend the run interior. They got to make, you know, be able to handle a double team, kind of like the old nose in a 3-4, but they got to be good. They have to be, or you're going to get run on, and because there's only two linebackers left now. So it's it's a nice addition out of St. Thomas.
Before we move on, how does he end up at St. Thomas and then with very minimal playing transfer out to a program that's a step up?
Well, I think
just how the cards fall out of high school.
Yeah, well, you project, yeah. You know, and it's a lot of projection with them is what it is. And, you know, UND knew they needed D-tackles. You can only get so many. Yeah, we'd love to get a D-tackle from Alabama, but, you know, we're not getting them. Okay. So we're going to, you know, you got to take the guys you can get. And he was one of them. He had some offers, but that's the body type. And that's a big thing we're going to talk about in this podcast moving forward, body types. UND needs to upgrade their body. They're just not long enough. They're not big enough, not heavy enough. Everyone said, you know, back in the day, they went with the lighter D-line to twist, stunt, move. All right. You know, and it worked at times. But when it didn't work, we just got mowed over and we couldn't hold up, and especially playoff time.
Yeah, those big offensive lines that are established.
It wasn't working.
Like to control, yeah. How about a DN? I'm going to give you this name. I haven't quite done the pronunciations yet.
I'm going to go with Kaiwan Vengrowski, Winona State. So same school as Trevor Olson
and Fricky
came from. So they would know this young man. Defensive end, explosive. He's only got 1 year left. Okay, but he was explosive for them, 14 and a half sacks, you know, 25 and a half TFLs, I think, in his career. You can see he's the guy that ends up, they ran a four down front. So he was out on the end, angled in, and just teeing off on the tackle is what he did. And you could see the moves. He had the move combination. So he's got it in him. He's only about 6'1", 250, you know, so a little, not tall, but explosive. And so you take a chance. It's only 1 year. You know what I mean? And he can help us immediately at defensive end just through production. That's what we need. We need production. We need more sacks. UND just didn't get enough disruption this past year. It started early but faded late. And you know, Vengrowski is a guy where D-end, Oleg Baju, D-tackle, they're not done yet. They need a handful more. So, yeah, and the last guy on the list, Tank.
Safety, you've talked about this position for many years.
Yep.
We need to find that established body type back there. And are we getting it with Frankfather?
Yeah, Nate Frankfather, a JUCO player, 2 years left. Mount San Jacinto, junior college in California. Good player. Physical. This is the body type you want. 6'2", strong, athletic, you know, kind of an animal out there, real physical kid, loves to make plays, loves football. You know, that's what they're looking for. Does he love football? Is he going to come, you know, because that translates. It doesn't matter. Coming from California to North Dakota, if you love football, you don't care about the weather, the cold, you know, whatever Grand Forks is versus California. You know what I mean? You don't care about that.
Yeah.
You're just happy to be there. And people love Grand Forks anyway. So not worried about that at all. But, this was one safety. They need more, though. You know, They have a lot of DBs in their roster, but they need some more height. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit about needs, but he adds a longer body type to this group.
So the portal closed December 28th, and that's the deadline for players to announce they're going in. But obviously there's way more players than probably positions available out there. So UND's still free to sign these guys, right?
Before school starts.
To get them in for that spring semester.
Yep, January 13th. You got to get these guys enrolled.
If they want to play spring ball, right?
Yep, these guys are enrolled. And that's your goal. You want them in the system.
Yeah.
You want them lifting with you. You want them eating. You want them going to class, comfortable, and learning your system in spring ball then is what you want. So there's six on the books right now. That's six portal transfers. But a little tidbit I found, they're having three more come in this weekend, and they're not surprising names. It's what I could confirm based on social media was Bennett Walker. Yeah, he was offered by us. He's a corner from San Diego State. So once again, a Schmidt corner. He knows him. Worked with him out at San Diego State. That would be secondary help that we need. Zach Lewis, Northern Arizona, safety. Okay, more secondary help. And an interesting name too, local, Kristen Hoskins, the Alexandria. Just a firecracker, wide receiver, speed guy. More kind of like Jamal Young. 5'9", you know, dynamic. You know, 5'9", 170, 180, you know, thick, but can move in space. And he's quick, hard to bring down. That's a name that popped up, and I think there's a chance that UND gets him in, you know, before if things work out, because based on social media, he's going to be visiting. And if you're visiting, there's only so many days left. All right, school's starting, within the next 2 weeks everywhere across the country. So you have to be enrolled. So that would be – so if these three would make it in, you know, if they could get them to commit, that's nine. Nine portal additions, that's good. That's pretty good for getting hired in early December.
Like what you see in this list, right?
It's a good start. Yeah, it's definitely a good start. The quarterback was the key. They had to bring in more competition at quarterback. And the best QB, Jerry Kaminsky, whoever, Eric Sulik, whatever, Jack Sulik, sorry, whoever rises to the top is going to start. And that's the biggest thing. You can't have too much comfort up there. And that's the big, they have to understand that we got new guy coming in, new attitude, new era. And like Dion said, he's bringing his luggage with him. All right. He's going to bring some of his own guys. And if they're not good enough, they're not going to play. He's coming here to win. So, and turn this program around. So that's just kind of how it's going to be. And this isn't the end, you know, the spring portal is going to be just as active as this portal. So the only issue is now we'll jump into roster construction here next. I got on my notes. They only have 63 scholarships. So I'm guessing right now, if he's bringing in six guys, most of these guys are big money. You know, and if he brings in three more, that's big money. Well, you've got to be about out of money, I would think, for the spring semester.
Because are guys getting about half or full ride right now? At least half? Or are they giving out quarters like they used to do?
I don't think a lot of that.
Just half or full ride?
I think they start right at half. You know, because if you're giving out a quarter, what's the point? You know, is the guy going to help your program if you're giving him a quarter just to get him here? I mean, I don't know.
I think maybe. Adam Thielen told me they were going to try and get him $200 at Mankato, and it never did happen.
Yeah, right.
So he never did get any money.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I'd have given him a quarter. We'd have got him, huh? Yeah.
I think he did okay and was able to pay off his student loans
a little bit. We missed on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. I got roster construction as my next heading.
And let's talk about that 425. How much needs to go into converting that?
Well, boy.
What's the process? Because I remember when we went to the 3-4, and it took a few years before we really needed it to do what it did, and it did work. What do you see the transition in this? What are you thinking?
Well, when you look at UND's current roster, they have 11 linebackers. Well, you're only playing two. Now, that's the problem. You were playing four before. 11 for four, okay. You're going to bring in. But when you look at the signing class, another sheet we have printed out here, we signed 23 kids at Christmas time. Seven of them were linebackers. Okay, so that means we got 18 linebackers on this roster, and I don't know. The first thing we have to think of is, can any of them move down to an edge? And I doubt they're, you know, my first inclination is they're not athletic enough to move to safety or nickel, you know, maybe, but you'd move them forward on the ball. You don't want to move them backwards. Okay. You move forward. And, this is just interesting. 18 linebackers for two positions. So there is some roster issue for Eric Schmidt right now, that going to that 4-2-5, like you mentioned, it's going to be there's going to be a change. I think what he's going to have to do, the reps are going to be hard to come by in spring ball. He's going to have to try to give everyone a shot. But the honest truth is, come spring, a lot of these guys are going to have to be move on.
You might see a lot of linebackers in the portal from UND.
You have to. Yeah. I mean, it's not anything against, nothing personal. Like I said, what do you want? They went to a 4-2-5. We lost two positions. That's four deep at each position. That's eight guys minimum, you know, that we don't need anymore, that I don't know if they translate to an inside backer. So it's going to be moving outside backers to edges this spring. It's going to be a bigger outside backer. Okay, well, what do you think about buying into being a D lineman? You know, can you beef up 30 pounds, 40 pounds, be a D lineman? Well, some might be okay with that if they have a 6'3", 6'4" frame. You know, that type of thing. But yeah, there's going to be roster construction is going to be a major issue defensively. Offensively, I don't see it being an issue whatsoever because nothing's going to change. But defensively, major issues come spring here.
Is it basically you can just tell a kid, hey, it's going to be really hard for you to see the field. You can't say, we need your scholarship back. They need to be the one, right? Or can you denounce someone's
scholarships? Well, they're 1 year. These days, I believe they're 1 year contracts.
Really?
So they're 1 year. Yep. I think the portal guys are lifetime. Let's call it the time you're on campus. The years you have eligible left, I believe they have to be honored. So if you take a guy in the portal for 3 years left, I think you have to honor it for 3 years unless he leaves on his own. Now, high school kids coming in, signing, now they're in their second year of the program. Those are year to year. So I think you can tell them at the end of the year, yeah, I believe you can, you know, tell them, hey, it's not going to work out here. We're moving on, you know, that type of thing. So there's going to be, as we look ahead, there might be 15 kids. Which is a ton. Usually there's three or four, you know, and some schools have 15. Some schools have 25 because
I'm sure there were three offensive linemen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, and they all moved on and up and good for them. But I would say there's going to be a lot of overturning, which brings me back to that spring portal. What do we got written down? April 16th to the 26th. Okay. 10-day window. That's going to be big for UND. Looking at, you think this one's big? That one's going to be big. Because now he sees what he has. All he can do is go off what the coaches tell him right now. Coach Schmidt, film. I'm talking. Yeah, film. Okay, here's what we got. Now he's going to see them in spring ball. Okay, here's our needs. Boom. We need D-line. We need linebacker. We need safety. Whatever. Whatever. Or, hey, boy, I like this kid. I didn't realize it. You know, this kid, I think he can help us. He can play. Boom. All right. You know, so now he feels a little bit better about corner or whatever. So it'll be interesting moving forward. But, you know, I got my notes here, you know, need more defensive edge bodies. You know, Lance Rucker would be one. Okay. In-house guy. He'll be an outside backer turned edge. He can just get a little bigger and he'll be perfect. That type of thing. But you need more bringing it.
Cause you look at these NFL guys right now, a lot of them are just hybrid pass rushers, right?
That's, I mean, pretty much. Well,
linebackers, and they know how to get to the quarterback.
We were watching Texas yesterday, that number 10 for Texas or whatever. Yeah, he's not a big guy, but he's an animal. And he plays like he's 260, you know, but he's really 230, 225. And, yeah, you just need more of those. They need more safety bodies, more length. You know, you just need more length out there. Offensive line, that's one thing. That's in a great position. And I talked to Coach Schmidt about it. I said, what do you think of offensive line? He goes, oh, great. He goes, I love it. They have 19 offensive linemen on the roster, and they are ecstatic about it. Why? Because everybody needs offensive line.
Yeah.
You're not getting a better player than we got on our roster right now in the portal. You're just not doing it. So they're ecstatic to have 19, and as of right now, none entered the portal. Some in spring might, you know, they might move on and up, or might just move back home. But still, the biggest thing that was mentioned is scout team. We got a full offensive line for scout team now with subs. So now you're getting a good look. Okay, you're getting a real look. He mentioned at San Diego State, funny story, he said, they had one scout offensive lineman by the end of the year because everyone was needed on the real offensive line. One. So they were starting tight ends and defensive linemen at scout O-line. Well, they didn't know what they're doing. They're not giving you a good look. You know what I mean? They're not giving you a representative look of the other offense because they don't have any knowledge of the position, you know.
I was just here listening to a coach talk about how important the scout team was and to have decent bodies out there to give you a good look week to
week. UND's going to have a very good. So offensive line, I'm very happy about that. And those kids, we brought in 8 last year. Those 8 freshmen are still with the team, and they still, you know, are still sounding very good, very talented group. So, yeah, I like where we're at there. And another little interesting tidbit I heard, Sam Hagen.
Really?
Yeah, interesting. I heard my sources up in Grafton are saying they're, you know, Jimmy Rogers leaving South Dakota State, Danny Freund leaving South Dakota State, offensive line coach going with him. There's a chance he comes back. So interesting, you know,
his connections are gone. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be an immediate shot in the arm because UND loses Jack Koontz to graduation, but now you can fill in. And I thought Hagen played better at guard than tackle. And he's now, you could fill him right back in at guard. We got our whole O-line back. I mean, I don't know, you know,
I talked to Trevor Olson at, Schmitty's press conference and just told him how great a job he did last year, you know, for coming in new, 3 returning starters not there, hit the portal, and there was a lot of answers there to be or a lot of questions there to be answered, and I think they did a great job up front last year. Let's talk about the quarterback room. What does Javance's addition to the team do to that room right now?
Well, it creates competition, number one, and that's what you want. When you're a new coach, you want all jobs open. You want hungry kids. You want the weight room to be just crazy because these kids know, there's no incumbency anymore. You know what I mean? So it'd be Romfo, Sulik, Kaminsky, who was number 2 last year, and then Javance. That's 4. 4 quarterbacks right now, and they're bringing in, that's right, Etienne Higgins, so a freshman, just signed. So that would be 5.
Is he from?
Council, Iowa?
Iowa,
Iowa. So that's 5
quarterbacks. And he's kind of a run pass dual threat, isn't he?
Yep, he can run a little bit. Yep. So now I have my notes, so too. There's a chance you lose one. You know, Henkes, I believe, I crossed off Cole Henkes because he entered the portal. So he probably, you know, he was a transfer. He transferred in the portal this past year, and then now, you know, probably is going to try something else somewhere else. So you're down to 5. There's a chance you lose one in the spring, I would think. You know, I would think once it shakes out after spring ball's over, Isaac Frichte lays out his depth chart, and you're 3rd, you know, 3rd or 4th. You probably, we'll play somewhere else. So there's a chance they're back down to 4, which means they might go find another one, you know, to bring in. You'd like... 4 is thin. I don't know. I would prefer 5, you know, at quarterback. But so, yeah, the room to me is fine. Creates competition. You got all body sizes in there. Sulik's 6'5". So he's a big kid. You know, Kaminsky's 6'2". Romfo's 5'10", 5'11". I mean, you got all body sizes. You got all speeds. You got everything. Hey, best player wins is the way I see it, Tank.
How about anywhere else on the offensive line? Where are your concerns? Because running back, we should be all right.
Running back or good, I think, honestly, you if see one would receiver? Fall in their lap.
Yeah.
If one would fall in their lap, you could take a running back just in case. You know what I mean? Because Donovan Hunt entered the portal.
Yeah.
So you could take one. That's not a bit. I don't think they need to go burn a full ride on one or anything, but you take one if you can get one. But receiver, I think they, you know, Hoskins, like I mentioned earlier, he could be the 3rd one. Maybe they'd even get one more in the spring. Because if you're going to run 3 receivers every play, well, okay. I mean, you need 5, 6 that are good, you know, and that can contribute on special teams. So, yeah, I could see another wide receiver. Another thing I mentioned, Tank, tight end. They could use another Tequincy Vaughn left. They have, I believe we're down to 4 tight ends on the roster. With a fullback, Jack Irie. Norby's gone now. So, yeah, I'm looking at tight end. You know, you got Hayden Stay. He's a blocker. Mason South. He's a blocker. Fullback, tight end blocker. Trey Koontz, freshman. Now, he could be a pass catcher. out of Central, Grand Forks Central, but young, never played before. Aiden Bayemeyer, he's 6'6", tight end. He played last year. So he's one that we could maybe look to be a pass catcher next year, but that's it. So one established tight end, I could see him trying in the spring portal, he tried to get one more.
So just a recap on roster construction. I think come August, our current roster is going to look a lot different.
I think it is too.
That's a fair statement.
I think it's fair. Yep. They're going to lose. They're going to have to lose. I mean, just mathematically, because you can only have, 85 kids on scholarship, period, and you only have 63 to give out, and I guarantee they're at 63 right now. So come the start of the summer, you got to pretty much be at your max or less, because once August comes around, you can't be over. So you might as well just do it in May and get yourself set, type of thing. So, yeah, I'm thinking, there's going to be... It's going to be looking a lot different, put it that way, come
May. And especially all the FBS schools have to be down. Like, some of them would carry like 118 players, I heard. Now there's a limit to that. So
105.
Yeah, guys are going to be coming down from FBS.
Yeah, there should be options. And that's the nice thing about having new coaches come in, new blood, with connections. Connections, they know a kid who's, thinking about getting in. Kids reach out before they get in. So the coaches know who's getting in, beforehand, because they don't want to get in if they don't think there's something out there, for them. They don't want to be, oh, no, nobody's calling me type of thing, and I just gave up a scholarship.
And you can see that is happening.
Right.
Guys out there, they're constantly putting out that they're in the portal. So, the fun part about this is our ex-followers, formerly known as Twitter, they love to do a little mailbag segment. I'm going to throw some of the questions that were on X from us. Besides Anderson, anyone using their final COVID year?
I don't think so. I kept asking about that. The guys, they were all done. I think, like I mentioned, Jack Kuntz, done. Norby, done. Orlando, Pedigo, Smith, I think they're all done. I don't even know if they had a COVID year. I don't know how that works for those guys, but... Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot coming. I think we're getting back to a sense of normalcy, put it that way. So when they were a senior last year, if you're not hearing about them now, they're done. And some of them just wanted to move on, type of thing. But like Nick Kupfer moved on. He graduated, moved on, that type of thing. But yeah, I don't think, anything real surprising or shocking. But Seth Anderson, obviously, that helps. Right tackle, Morehead kid.
How impressed are you with the retention?
Yeah, they didn't have much, did they?
A lot of question marks with coaches and everything. Yep. A new defensive system. I thought there would be more, but
then again, let's wait. Wait till April. Because not just because the coaches, we've attacked it from one side of this thing. Some of the kids are going to be like, I don't mesh with this staff, or I don't like the 4-2-5. Or, that type of thing. So the kids are going to move on themselves, some of them. And I bet there'll be more than normal.
They had a good relationship with one of the coaches that isn't there.
Yep, yeah. Type of thing. And I think there's going to be some of that, too. So some of the roster construction is going to take care of itself. Let's put for the fans. I mean, just it's going to take – the coaches are going to do their thing. Players are going to see the writing on the wall. Or players are just not going to like the new setup, and they're going to move on. So, but yeah, I mean, as far as the initial retention, I thought it was pretty good. It tells me the current roster, bought into what Coach Schmidt was saying.
We've touched on a lot of these, the quarterback battle for next year. I'm guessing it's going to be wide open. But before we get to that, have you talked to Isaac Frickte? Is Schmidt talked to him about a different way he'd like to see the offense run? Or is it going to be probably what we saw last year?
I think it would be
with
similar.
A few wrinkles.
Yeah, I think it would be similar to last year. I remember any defensive coordinator is going to tell you they want you to be able to run the ball because they don't want to be on the field.
Yeah.
All right. They don't want to be. They don't want that. Well, back in the, what was it, 20 years ago when Chip Kelly's running, the hyperspeed stuff. Well, imagine his defensive coordinator. Yeah, it was cool when they were scoring.
Yeah.
But when they go 3-and-out, you only use up 45 seconds and your third down play was an incomplete pass. Now the clock stops. You're back out there again. Yeah, I would guess he's just fine with the way he ran it. I'm sure they'll sit down and analyze a game. you know, go through it. Hey, why'd you do this here? Why do you like, you know, here's what I like to see. I love on 3rd and 8. Here's what I would really like to see, you know, type
Fricky's
of thing.
Going, didn't I already get the job?
Right. Yeah. Right.
You do defense, I'll do offense. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but not how it goes. So, it'll be fun to see that quarterback battle again. We had one last year that went about as late as you could go.
He's the week of Iowa State, right?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody knew. They weren't tipping their hand either because I was trying to ask.
Yeah.
I was trying to dig, asking. Nobody knew a thing. So that was interesting. But another question. What do we got here? Do you see any more additions of the portal? We discussed that.
Yeah.
Plenty.
Spring ball.
We got 6 right now. There could be 3 more coming up here shortly.
And then after the spring season.
6 more?
Is where you'll see
I don't
it.
See why not. And it would probably be all maybe a wide receiver, but mostly defense.
What do you think spring ball will look like?
That's a good question. I don't know. Get out there, fans. Here's what I'll say to you. It's open. And I don't think Eric Schmidt will change that. Yeah, it's indoors and it's open.
Shoveling Memorial anymore.
It'll start in early to mid-February because they want to get it over with earlier now. And indoors, go out and watch. You can see, check energy difference. You know, just the way practices are run, the intensity difference, whatever. I think, honestly, we all just got to kind of show up and see. There's no way to know how a spring ball is going to go versus the way it went the last 11 years.
Do you like how they spread it out?
Yeah.
Spring ball?
I think so.
Get it done.
Yeah, get it done earlier. And now they know. Plus what it does is it gives you time to heal up. So these players, if they do get hurt in spring ball, let's say in March, now they have 2 months to heal up before summer workouts. So I like getting it done earlier than later. Like we used to, you know, it used to be at the end of April, right before finals, it would end. And that just was a little late.
Yeah. The top 2-3 FCS teams are built like FBS teams. Do you see us going that route in recruiting right now?
Well,
you have seen it.
Yeah, body types. Yep. I mean, even the O-line just needs to get a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical, you know. But the biggest thing we've talked about, body type, length. We need it. More length out there. More length leads to more physical size, especially defensive line, linebacker, safety, across the board. You know, we just need it. I mean, our corners have always been decent size. But other than that, you know, it's just, it hasn't looked the same. You know, like, what is it? South Dakota State, Adam Bach. And what is he, 6'3"? You know, he's huge and he's All-American. NDSU's linebackers, 6'3", 6'4", 230. You know, they're not the fleetest of foot, but they're pretty good players. But they can thump in there.
Good football mentality.
Yeah, right? Good football. Yeah. But they put them in positions to make plays. So they're not isolating. Then they're not making them chase down guys that are quicker than them.
Yeah. The next mailbag here talked a little bit about the hockey coaching change between Hack and Barry and how different those two guys were. Hack was more of a all business, and Barry seems to be a little more, hey, how's your day going type guy. This question is Bubba and Schmidt, comparison-wise, very similar or different?
Well, that's an excellent question that they brought up, an excellent comparison, because, yeah, Hack was always giving off that look like he was going to kill you.
Yeah,
and
it worked.
Yeah, and Barry's, you know, the nice guy, which is what Bubba's like, you know, type of nice, kind of jovial players guy, and, you know, everybody likes him, very popular guy on campus. Well, Schmidt, he's got the Hack look to him. He's going to be mad out there. He's going to be angry, stern look on his face, blowing his whistle out when he doesn't like something. And there's going to be a lot of yelling and a lot of cleaning stuff up that he doesn't like. So, yeah, that was an interesting one. I like that. I like that question. I like the comparison. But, yeah, he will be vastly different from Bubba in the way he runs the program and just his mentality and his elevated
demeanor and practice that's where the players will definitely see.
Right. I think they'll notice it.
Yeah.
If they haven't already, they will notice it quickly. And the more workouts, the spring workouts and whatnot, he'll be standing around watching because you can take him in you know, type of thing. So yeah, it's a very, very good question and a very good comparison.
All right. You know, there's some more portal questions here about the roster makeup. We've touched on a lot of that, but wanted to save this one for the last here. What is a realistic year one result for this team and coaching staff? Wow.
Well,
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, let's look at the schedule, number one.
So okay, I'll go through K-State. Probably a loss, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll be a tough one.
I mean, sure. I hate to say, you never know, but, you know, you got a new staff, a lot of new people in place, and then, oh, by the way, you got to go to Bill Snyder Stadium. And
right.
Yeah. Take on a pretty competitive team that the Climans put together there. Portland State at home.
Got to win that one.
Yeah, that looks like
they score points. So they're a little scary because they always score points, but they give up a boatload. Barney Ball, when he comes to town, he's going to buy a box of Dots pretzels. Okay, because that's his deal. So Barney, he'll be back in Grand Forks, but scary. But UND you got to win that one.
And they probably won't have a lot of tape on the new defense either.
No, right? No.
Shouldn't. And probably they'll hold some stuff back in K-State, throw at Portland. Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be 1-1. Kelly's got us. Montana away.
Oof. That'd be a tough one. I don't know if
Schmitty, like, who put this schedule together in year one?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know if they're ready to go to Montana. So we'll call that one. That one will be a tough one. The next week, though, Valpo at home.
That should be.
You got to schedule that game. You got to win that one. Okay, so there's your. But here's what people need to realize: a 12-game schedule again. So it's a 12-game year. So there's your first four non-conference games. You know, it's a good mix.
The next game, Northern Iowa, they're going through some of the same things we are. New staff down there.
Great guy, Stepsis. Todd Stepsis, Drake coach, who did a hell of a job, took him to the playoffs this year.
You'll probably see a different feel at Northern Iowa. Cause
new energy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Farley was there for, what, 90 years?
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, that'll be a culture shock for the current
staff. Youngstown State.
Yeah, we owe them. Yeah, got them at home this year. We owe them after last year. We should have won that game. And, yeah, just, that's one you got to get at home. So, I mean, you could be, you know, after this, you could be sitting at 3-3.
Southern Illinois on the road.
That's going to be tough. Yeah, it'll be tough. They were down this year, but I don't expect them to be down. I think they had a lot of changes, lost a lot of guys in the portal, never quite. Their defense the year before was top 10 in the country. Last year, their defense was terrible. They fired their D coordinator. After the season here, like it was his fault. I mean, he led the hell of a defense the year before, and then they fired him. So it's like, well, whatever.
But I'm going to give us a win just because Schmitty's been there.
All right.
So we'll go. He'll have a little insight, even though the staff is completely different than when he was there. Indiana State at home, that should be a win.
We owe them. Yeah, we owe them. We did not look good down there last year at all, and things were falling apart, you know, at that point of the year. Their shell shock from the week before. You get a win there. So what can you be sitting at 5-3 potentially, right?
South Dakota. I see Bauman's coming back, right?
Yeah, that'll be a tough one. That'll be tough. We don't win there very often. They finally won here for the first time since 1985 last year. I'd call that'll be a tough one.
They just had a guy go in the big
DN,
name, right?
Yeah, DN, defensive player of the year in the conference. Yep.
We called him yet? We could use
Yeah.
We were talking DNs.
Right. There
we need them. NDSU at home.
Well, I always play them better at home. I don't know. We'll see. You know, they lose a lot, but they bring back a lot, and they always have good recruiting classes. So I don't know about that one. That'll be a tough one.
You need to grow a set. I'll have the balls and say that's a win for right there. Yeah. Murray State away.
Got to win that one.
Well, we got to see what kind of team they have.
Yeah, who
knows? They got hit again, right, with the portal?
Yeah, sure, yeah. And that new coach, he's trying his best he can, and they battled a few times, but they just didn't. They were up. By the end of the year, they didn't have anything left once the injuries kicked in.
Who let them in the league?
Yeah, I know.
South Dakota State to round out the year.
Never know anymore. Yeah, I don't know. I would have said.
We got to find out what team they have.
Yeah,
right?
Who's even on their roster? Who's their, you know, who's Dan Jackson bringing in to coach? That type of thing. So I don't know. You know, that one, honestly, it depends. Injuries by that time of the year for UND especially will be the key. You know, you can't call it a win or anything. But so let's look at this thing. Why 6-7 wins? I don't know. I mean, you know, realistically, in the same range as they were in. But we also, what we said is we were getting a little tired of the 6-7 win thing. Everyone was wanting to take the next step, 8-9 wins, right? I don't know if it happens in year one. Everyone, we need to be realistic. Okay. It's year one. Okay. So we'd love to be at 9 wins next year, but I don't think that's going to happen based on changing the entire defense, changing over the entire, not the entire roster, but changing over 20 spots in the roster, maybe. I don't know what it'll end up being. So, yeah, I don't know.
The good news is we hired the right guy to put it all together.
Right. Well, he has connections. And, you know, we're going to sum up this podcast here shortly. We've been going for quite a while, but he has connections. He knows, he understands 2025 college football. And that was the key. That's what I figured out right away. The way he started talking about NIL and roster construction and what you got to do with them, the ways you, NIL isn't just money. Okay. NIL can be a guy in Grand Forks who owns an apartment building and gives you a stipend off your apartment. That's an NIL. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do NIL.
Schmitty talked about maybe we're not giving you cash, but your parents are getting airline tickets to come to games.
Yeah, we can do that.
We'll fly your parents up.
We give you 75% scholarship, and here's what we're going to give you per month in NIL or in like kind of a merchandise type thing, whatever. You know what I mean? It doesn't always have to be a full ride and NIL. It can be, no, we need our 63. We're getting capped out, but we got money in the NIL. I'll just make it up here. So that's like what they did with Cade Borewood last year. Iowa was maxed out. They gave him the equivalent of a scholarship in NIL. Well, okay. So now really you don't have 85
that's better scholarship. Than a scholarship.
You got 100 guys on scholarship, you know, at Iowa or Alabama or whatever. So yeah, it's, but the point is, all the UND fans, we should be excited. I mean, he understands the game. He understands what we're up against. He knows the wrinkles, the nuances, the little things that can get you over the top, because he's seen it at Washington, seen it at Fresno, seen it at San Diego State. The San Diego State coach came from Utah. He saw it at Utah. So he knows what Utah did under Whittingham, you know, and all those guys. So I don't, it's exciting. And I think we made the right hire just based on all those things and the energy he's going to bring, and the no-frills attitude that we talked about straight out of Mandan. He doesn't. And I heard right away the coaches' meetings that he held and the review of the current roster meetings were anything but pleasant, put it that way. So he came out and he said, hey, we're not good enough. This isn't good enough. We need to get better, right away in the first day he was on campus. And that's what we all wanted to hear.
Well, we're going back a few years when it comes to UND football. You might remember the name Ross Almley from the early 90s, UND football. He joins us today on the 360 podcast from sunny Arizona. Ross, you had to rub it in off the air, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It's supposed to be 77 degrees today. I know you don't want to hear that up there when I think it's right around zero. But, yeah, it's a good place to live in 6 months out of the year.
He's a was it eight today, Tank?
Yeah.
Eight.
This week's going to suck.
I saw some negatives coming up, too.
makes you hearty people, though.
Well, the nice thing about it, though, Ross, up here is a lot of excitement for UND football right now with Coach Schmidt being hired in the last couple weeks. What are you hearing from some of your teammates on the hire?
I think there's a lot of excitement. I personally didn't play with Eric, and I know him a little bit through just some passing meetings. But the pedigree is there, and he certainly, as a player, he was outstanding. He's had a nice coaching run here with some good, higher-level organizations, and for UND to be able to land Eric, that's a pretty special thing, and I think he's going to do a great job, and he's already rallied a lot of people behind him. So very excited for what's going on there.
Right. Yeah. And that's what the sentiment up here is too. It's just, especially, us, the former players, it's kind of interesting. I like to feel out, different eras, I guess, of former players. I was, That was pretty much your era, I guess, just after you. I think I arrived on campus the year after you were done. But you know, so you would be the early 90s. I was the late 90s, that type of thing. You know, we got the 80s guys, the 70s guys there. You know, we got all these different eras. And have you, it seemed your group, the early 90s, they are really seem to be engaged. You know, that's a good group. I think you guys started, you turned the corner in that era with the program. You won a, ended up winning a lot of games. I mean, is there still, do you sense that with your group, a pretty tight-knit, engaged group?
Yeah, I think part of that was due to what you just said, turning the corner and having success. And it's not a knock on the guys that came before us, because those guys, you know, paved the path. And sometimes it takes a while for that success to show up in a winning record. So we really attribute, you know, the late 80s guys that we knew who were just good, solid football players who were building the program back then. Guys like, you know, Shannon Burnell, myself, Brent Hansen, you know, we came in at a really good time. We had Coach Thomas, we had Coach Ballinger, we had excellent leadership in the program, and we started to compete with NDSU, as a lot of people will remember, and that was really the turning point for us, I believe, in 93 when we ended their, you know, long streak of wins against us. But it certainly wasn't started in 93. It started in the mid to late 80s, and we were just the beneficiaries of some really good path paid for our success. So, but yeah, we are tight-knit. I wish we'd gather more often than we do. It's a little fragmented that way, but that's the nature of, you know, having a university in Grand Forks. We can't all make an easy trip back to Grand Forks, and but I think for events like honoring teams and whatnot, I think we've had pretty good, you know, showing for that.
Well, and that's kind of what brings us to this, having you on today on our podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we have a full slate here on our podcast today, because there's been no shortage of talkers when it comes to UND football. That's for sure lately, which is, it's all positive though. That's the great thing about
well,
it.
Well, he said you were going to be on. I said, we can't have anyone from Mayville, Portland on. And I said, we can make an exception. So
spoken like a true Hillsborough borough. Yeah.
But you got a nice little event going. We have the Summer Legends Golf Tournament for the former alumni. But you're looking at doing something down south, correct?
We are. And let me explain it. So I get a lot of questions of, why'd you put this thing together? And it's really Cindy's carrying the bulk of the burden of the tournament. But between her and I, you know, what we thought about was, you know, each of us can go back to our high school days when a coach knocked on our door or sent us a letter and opened that door for UND. And from the moment we stepped on campus up at UND, the opportunities started to abound for us. And it's not just football. It's based on the relationships, the guys we played with, the equipment managers, the training room folks, the boosters, the Sioux fans. It was definitely a family feel up there. And one of the things that I've recognized over the years is the lineage of all of my success, you know, as I sit here today at 52 years old, can be directly linked almost on a year-by-year basis to somebody that opened the door at UND for me. And it was, it's becoming more evident. I think maybe just some maturation on my end is just to understand that we have to recognize that and almost pay homage to that Sioux family, that group that we probably don't give enough regard to for our personal successes. And this tournament, I thought, would be a way for us to celebrate the Sioux family and also just have great fellowship and just enjoy each other's company. And that's kind of it.
The Aunt B Golf Classic. When's it going to be, and where can you find more info about it?
Yeah, so let me explain the Aunt B part for maybe some of the younger guys. Cindy Klug, I don't know how long she worked in the football office, but she was our staple. Aunt B, if you remember the Andy Griffith show, she was kind of the glue of that show. And I call Aunt B, Cindy Klug, the glue of our organization. I think her time there spanned, you know, multiple decades. So a lot of people know her. And so it was naturally fitting to name the tournament after her. The tournament itself is, it's kind of, it's a golf event, but it's not, you don't have to be an aficionado of golf to enjoy it. It's April 4th, which is a Friday, and we're playing a course called Cattail. And I think it's worth mentioning, this course is a phenomenal golf course, but it's phenomenal because of the staff that works out there. They have given us an extreme discount to play this course for one day. And just to give you an idea, the week before our group will get out there, the LPGA is hosting, I think it's called the Ford Championship out there. So it's a high value course. And
quite the drastic drop off in talent,
yeah,
from
exactly.
One night to the
yeah, they
couldn't help but laugh there, Ross.
Hosting professionals to hoping that we don't get kicked off the course.
Right.
The change, right? But the weekend includes it includes a Saturday night deal, downtown Gilbert, that all of it's gonna be covered in this one fee. It's $275. So I don't know if you guys have played golf in Arizona, but in April, to even play for under $300, just the golf alone, that's a steal. But the course has given us a nice deal. We're putting some food on top of that. And then Saturday event. So it's $275 all in for the golf and the festivities. Separately, there's a hotel block that we've set aside at Wild Horse Pass Resort and Casino, which is right on site near the golf course. And we've got a phenomenal rate there, too. It's $229 per night. It's a pretty posh hotel. But it's got a casino, which I knew our guys would like. And it's blocked until March 4th, I believe, at that rate.
Okay. Well, geez, a lot of things. Cool. A lot of things set up here, Ross. This sounds like when I think of Arizona, I think of golf courses. But you know, sure. You don't quite understand. You know, there's a level to golf courses down there in Arizona. And I've played a few, but not a lot. You would know, obviously, more. You living in down Chandler. So this is the higher end,
of
Arizona golf courses. Just so everybody understands, correct?
It is, but it's not a stuffy higher end. You know, there's some courses down here where you feel like maybe I'm not quite up to par to play this course.
Okay.
No pun intended there. But the Cattail course is, they have kind of a Midwest feel to it. People take care of the golfers out there. So it's a phenomenal place.
So if you wear your NDSU CKS shirt, will you be kicked off? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't advise that. You might get pummeled right on the putting green.
Okay, so wear a polo.
Yeah, but back to the reason why we're doing it, back to Cindy Ross. You know, we all remember, obviously, she was there during my time, too, up at the top of the stairs. We had our meetings up there. Our meetings were upstairs. Running backs, were you guys upstairs too?
We were not. We were in the dungeon down below.
Oh, you're down there. Okay.
Yeah.
See, we had to go up every day. So every day we had our meetings in the back room. So every day we'd come by. Every day we'd grab a candy out of the dish that she had that she kept stocked for everyone. And I think it became quite cumbersome at times, I remember, because she'd be buying the big bags of it from like Halloween size bags. But and the other thing about that Cindy did that a lot of people overlook is she was the liaison to the parents. So the parents became best friends with Cindy over those 4 or 5 years that their son was on the team. And it became, you know, a real tight knit group. And if the parents were ever worried, if they were ever wondering about something or worried about their son or anything, they'd call Cindy. Is what they do, and Cindy would figure it out. And that was one, I think, I mean, I'll let you speak that, but that has to be, you know, a factor in putting on this tournament and having, you know, her name on it.
Yeah, that's a great visual that you just presented there, because she, like I said, she is the glue. And she has this steel trap of a memory. You know, we're going through some names here, just starting to reach out to folks here in December and right now. And people that I didn't think she would remember, she remembered and could go beyond that and tell a good story about that person. And I was like, that's amazing that you've been able to retain all of that. I can barely remember the names of the guys that I played with, but part of that's probably just got hit too many times in the head. But she's her recall is phenomenal, and she's the perfect person not only to name the tournament after, but to help with the organization of it, because that's what she did for us when we were there. And here's another thing too, and we've kind of opened this up to other athletes for UND. So she knows the women's basketball players and the men's basketball players from certain eras. And so she said, why are we limiting this to just football guys? And I said, that wasn't the intention, but that's where we started. And so it's really any former Sioux athlete can participate in this. And that's due to Cindy's call on that. She said, we should make this a family thing. And I totally agreed with her.
So April 4th, Arizona, yeah. We're going to be playing in Chandler, Arizona. How do people sign up for this? They give you a call?
So here's the first thing I'd like people to do if they're interested, is join the Arizona Sioux Football Golf Scramble Facebook group. You can email us too at, you know, there's emails, Cindy. Let me give you Cindy's email. It's cfklug@outlook.com. That's an easy one. So you can ping Cindy and just say, hey, invite me to your group. Or just say, hey, I'm interested in playing. Put me on the list, that type of thing. And she'll organize it. So I have no doubts about that. The other thing you can do is just text us your interest and who you might be playing with. We will eventually here in January have a QR code that'll go out so that people can reserve, Venmo to us for the tournament itself. That'll guarantee your spot once the Venmo happens. But just for the indications of interest, that's what we're looking for at the moment. So however you can get a hold of us. And I should make this clear, it's not running through UND. And we did that actually intentionally. One of the things that is going to be great about this tournament for guys like Belmore and Brecky and Manasa, who work so hard throughout the course of the years, we thought this would be a great time for them to just show up and be one of the guys and not have to worry about logistics. You know, I think of Tim Belmore especially, and that guy is a machine as far as keeping connected with everybody and making sure everybody has what they need. Well, I want to honor those guys and have them come down and just enjoy two or three days of Sioux fellowship and not have to worry about any responsibilities. So this is working all through me and Cindy. So reach out to me or Cindy personally, and we will get you connected and we will get you on your path to signing up.
If you don't have a team of four, are you taking singles and you'll pop them somewhere?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Tank, you should play because like I said, this is Sioux family. This isn't limited to athletes. This is Sioux family. Not that you're not an athlete.
Well, that's a strong word for me. I'm a better talker than I was a player.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, and that's important, is that we get the word out to the entire base, not just the football base. We're starting with the football guys because we have that list, but it'll be much broader than that.
You have a few names you can throw out that are already committed?
Oh, God.
Is that a trick question?
I can give you a number. I think we're at about 55 verbal commits now.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're shooting for 144. 144 fills up the course. So it's also an opportunity to bring family. The golf is just going to be about a five-hour deal, but the weekend's going to be conducive to family events. It'll be, if you want to make it a couple's weekend, we encourage that. So we're not just trying to leave our spouses back at home. If you want to make a weekend out of it, we will make sure that every family member enjoys the weekend. So,
well, that should do it.
One other thing. You know, one of the things we're going to do at the event, after the event, we have a little social right at the course. And I was laying in bed about 2 weeks ago thinking about this, and the guys that, you know, have passed too soon in our organization, and We're gonna toast to those guys because they'll be there in spirit. Guys like Greg Lotus and Neville Scarlett. These are names some of you will remember. Corey Wall, Robert Thume, Aaron Drummond, Bader, Chad Eamon, Lowell Schweigert. I mean, these are important people that have been part of the program that we lost too soon, and we're definitely going to make sure that we toast our fallen friends. So, it's going to be a cool weekend. I'm looking forward to it. Any information you need, reach out to Cindy or myself. We're going to work with Belmore to get our contact information out there. Even though it's not a UND sponsored event, Tim's going to help us out with that. So,
well, sounds good. Looks like a fun weekend. Thanks for putting this together, Ross, and tell Cindy thank you. And we look forward to a fun weekend in Arizona.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, guys, and the opportunity to talk about it. And I'll be listening to the pod